too.
Ooh.
Smoke is his OG. Like, that's, he's the guy that brought him into the game. So everybody has a boss, right? So that's his boss. And we also need a little age diversification in the show. Season one, we were very just in the like, late 20s, 30s. So that brought some character in. The guy that played with Dennis.
So Dennis walked in and snatched that role.
Yeah, Dennis was an amazing addition to the cast. Like, some of his scenes, like, when you got done, you're like, whoa, this guy's really a drug dealer. He will slit your throat. And, but he's the sweetest guy in the world.
No, I definitely checked my heart rate after some of those
guys. Is he an actor?
Oh, yes.
Yes, so what's funny is that
he
did theater his whole life, and this was his first like TV film thing.
He's all over Shakespeare in Dallas. He's great.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah, he was.
Amazing.
Can you talk about the flashback sequencing? Because I think you could do a whole nother like prequel show. I love going back with just, especially Artie's case, like, he was a pimp back then. It's like, there's so much going on.
Yeah, so the kid that played younger Eric was a tremendous actor. I think he has a, Glenn Fisher, he has a future. Or present. We initially in season two, we wanted to give every main character their own episode. Now, for budget reasons, like, we had an episode zero that got cut. Hilarious episode, had every single character in the show in that one bottle episode. But because it was episode zero, it didn't necessarily exist in the world. It was a dream episode. But the flashbacks, we just want to take it back and give it more context for why he was where he was, and kind of set some things up for the finale, and that he saw some things coming, but he was just kind of stuck to this life, right? And because the whole, him and Smoke is a whole art of war type battle, the entire season. It hasn't been their entire life. But they played it. Yeah, I would love to do that, you know? And it's funny, it's because a lot of, I don't know, that episode's weird for people. I don't think it gets as much, we love it, but I don't know, I think we might need a whole season to kind of explore something like that, kind of like The Wire.
Right, yeah, it was one of those share-tell type things, too, because I mean, Susan went here and talked, like, briefly about, you know, what happened with this one, how it started. And I think that episode was originally written differently. I think it was written that there were different other scenes added in. And a lot of that just kind of had to come together in editing as well. Like, you know, you write it one way and then it just doesn't line up when he's cutting it. And he's like, all right, well, let's figure something else out. But, you know, you eventually get there. But we always joke about spin-offs amongst ourselves. Like, you know, we're only in season three. We'll just do mini series spin-offs for every character.
You talk about there being four tangents, four elements. I noticed they're like kind of like the posters, there's almost a color scheme that pops in, especially red. Can you talk a bit about that visual touch for each of them? Because each does feel separate but also connected in some way.
Yeah. So, I mean, the overall theme for the show, since there were way more darker tones in season one, talking with Jared, I wanted to have kind of a darker palette for the entire show. And one of the concerns that most people have with like black skin is that you can't have it dark, which is absolutely false. As you can see, like, our skin reflects and absorbs light in unique ways, and one of the best ways to portray that is adding new color. So, for most characters, kind of their emotion through it. You know, with Maya, when she's doing her whole love scene with Trent, the colors were a little bit softer, and, you know, the warm tone was in there when she was with Trent. But then you also had the opposite where, you know, they play off red, you know, which can be passion, but also rage. So the last scene when they were actually, you know, setting up the whole camera and everything like that, you know, when he's setting her up, you see red in there. So for her, it was passion. For him, he was, you know, he had another tender motive. So we just had to play it smart with that, and each character, you know, kind of what they were going through. Famously with him and Smoke were there, you know, Smoke being towering over him and he's all red. That was, you know, rage. He was upset and stuff like that, where Eric was a little bit more cooler because he was trying to explain to him, but we had a little splash of it in there also just to kind of show his frustration with, you know, living that life. So, yeah.
when I first met with Mario at Starbucks, where I had all my meetings, Mario wanted, Mario was trying to, he is making the jump to cinematographer or director of photography. And I talked to him for 2 hours and I was like, I don't know if he knows exactly what it is. Well, I know he knows what he's doing, but because somebody can't fake what he knows over 2 hours, right? You can meet with people and they can kind of BS you for a little bit, right? But to keep it up for 2 hours, like Mario is such a tactician on set. And that was a big change for our cast and crew in that in season one, we went faster, right? I was the DP, so we went faster and
we were doing that especially.
Yeah, we had long days and I had crew members come to me, our actors, say, hey, can you tell them to hurry up? I said, no. I was like, no, we're doing this professional. We're going to do this right. We don't have a big team. We can't move as fast as Tyler Perry, but we're going to do it right, you know? And that's, you know, we had to get through some long days, but we were very efficient too. It's just getting our cast and crew, our first timers, acclimated to the way a set runs.
And that was a big thing too with us. Me and a couple other people I brought on actually work. This is our 9-to-5. I work in film, you know, 365. So when I brought my guys on stuff for this, the big thing for me was to train people. Majority of our crew are African American, Black, and stuff like that. So it's big for me to teach them because you don't see us on set for, you know, 8 to 9, 10 years I've been here in the camera department here in Dallas. There was only 3 of us, and 2 of those guys left, and I was the only one left for a year. So for me, you come on set with these guys, and one of the things that I tried to teach the show was that I saw it was a good concept, it was a great idea, but also, like, you know, the outtakes, and everyone was having fun, and that's something I was looking for, you know, be working, you know, features and music videos and stuff like that. They're fun, but it's also just this thing of you can't really be yourself around people who don't live the same experiences or have the same experience as yourself. So you kind of have to co-switch, you kind of have to be smart on set because you can offend somebody or you can make people feel uncomfortable and all that stuff. But, you know, having us and teaching everybody around, I brought one of my assistants from a movie I worked on in somewhere weird in Texas, but brought her on and stuff like that and tried to teach people kind of the program of it, because the knowledge that they gain from something as small as that, you take it somewhere else, you know, they don't look as green and people don't go, well, that person doesn't have to get, you know, they get that opportunity. So that was the thing.
And from a broader perspective, I think, you know, we wanted to teach, because I worked at ESPN, I didn't have all the, like, the film technical stuff because I was a producer writer, but, you know, I had that experience, and we wanted to teach and build an ecosystem of filmmakers, and we've seen it already kind of just spawn out over Dallas. Oh, yeah. and indie film, especially Black indie film. It's just like our crew members have went to other sets. We've seen filmmakers pop up left and right, bring our actors on, bring our crew members on, and just it's like a coach, and he has his coaching tree, and people just start to branch out. And that's what we wanted to do, is like, and then in season 2, like, all right, this is the way it's done, right? It's like, we're not going to rush it, because if you rush it, it's going to look sloppy, and we never want it to look, you know, sloppy.
Although, you know, after those first couple of days, we had to go back and just rework the entire shooting schedule. We had planned out filming days in the season 1 time frame. We knocked out 8 scenes in a day.
That's a travesty.
Just a bad here.
The travesty of indie film is that we had to go back in the script and cut everything that just wasn't crucial. Mm-hmm. It didn't push the story forward, or we didn't have to have it, we had to cut it. So we ended up cutting three episodes?
Yeah.
3-4 episodes once we got done with it. So, which I'd love to have back.
Does weather ever play an issue? Because I'm like, weather is crazy.
We all died a couple times in these
places. Yes,
I'm sure.
The thrift store for sure.
Yeah.
It's very well insulated and it has no air conditioning.
Oh,
so there's everything else mold.
So, right. Yeah. God knows what else. And so if it was 103 degrees outside, it was probably 115 degrees in there. Mm. And you can't turn on anything when you're filming. So yeah, that scene at the in the finale where I'm just sweating profusely.
Right, no.
And every time we retook it, I sweated the exact same way. Exact same sweat.
I was literally on camera sweating just as much. I'm looking at him like, I feel you on this one.
Wow. I'm handing everybody towels.
Right, right. Yeah, they're coming through with towels. Like,
We have pictures of Vaughn and everybody on set behind the scenes just beating down. Because it's so hot there. And
because we didn't film over the summer.
Yeah, it was.
If you're not actually acting, you just think about heat. You're not thinking about your lines. You're thinking about it's hot.
And that was probably the biggest one. But pretty much any set, you gotta turn the AC off for audio purposes. Summer in Dallas, Texas. So where we go, there's no AC while we're filming. And it's like, all right, hurry up, get it in. And those are the days where we were hoping that Mario and his crew and Sean would take a long time between setups because we could have the air on.
And one thing you probably don't think about is that, you know, when you're trying to shoot outside, there's only really two times you can shoot. First magic hour or sunset. So you have to time though. You have to time the shooting so that you're getting it right then, so that the light is its softest.
Because small production, I can't get a 20x20x of highlight and kind of block off that sun, you know.
Right.
So we had to kind of schedule the best time to do it. Sometimes we weren't able to do it, and we kind of had to work what we had, but for the most part, we did a really good job of that.
Yeah.
But we were also really blessed because we didn't really have any storm outs. So. Mm-hmm. The weather was pretty
like
much
the snowstorm that happened.
We weren't sure.
Okay.
We started in 2019 in May 31st, right?
Yeah.
May 31st. And we ended
October 27th. 28th.
Yeah, 28th. Yeah. So we kind of were in a.
And when was the premiere?
The premiere was
January
21st.
January.
Yeah, it was right before COVID. We got so lucky because we were able to have that, and we needed that. And this is just from an indie perspective. We needed that to make some money to. Fun post-production, right? Everything was kind of a tight wire with budget, right? We always seen, God must have been looking out. He's not actually watching the show, because if you watch the show,
he's
like, I've seen it, I'm gonna let that one go.
Right.
He saw things in our hearts.
Right.
We were chasing dreams, and didn't really kind of
pull a little tingle.
That was like a really, that was something that really buoyed us along the way because, you know, we raised about $20,000. And we spent, $1,260?
Aside, like, you know, we can't thank the people that supported us way before we were just a little bitty web series. We raised $20,000. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, some people gave $2,000, some people gave $5, but. A lot of people, and I forget the actual number, the amount of people that contributed. Do you remember that?
I don't.
It was a lot. There was a lot of folks that just got behind us and like.
It's like a GoFundMe or something.
No, Season Spark.
Yeah, Season Spark. So yeah, Season Spark for Proud Monday. And we were sweating. You know, we were sweating like that last week. Like, man, are we gonna make it to?
How are we gonna do this?
Yeah.
The goal is, you know, like we don't have to just figure this thing out ourselves. And you know, it came through that last week. Everybody showed up.
Wow.
And you know, put us over our goal now.
We even threw a rip party.
Yeah, like but to go back to all that, we had events. Like we needed money. You have an event, just go in there and like we had a Reebok event where we sold merchandise. We had
a house party,
rip party.
We had folks come, and you know, we just had a party. And we had DJ, and folks came in, paid admission, that helped fund, you know, pay for food. For a set, you know what I'm saying, for a weekend, because that's the biggest thing. You have to feed the crew. If you got people there all day.
Yeah.
You got that can be expensive, you know.
Yeah.
So, somehow we just kind of kept stringing along. It was like, you know, I almost fired up to lift that.
It's like, all right, everybody, no. We're going to film today. Everybody lived.
We're about to, we need to wrap up a little bit. So, but I definitely want you to talk about what this is going to look like on Friday the 25th. It'll be airing,
right? So, can I let you talk about the whole being nominated by the
system? Yes.
That's what we kind of
built off. Sure. I don't know where to start, but I mean, yeah, how it's going to look, how it feels. I mean, we were just elated, like, you know, Jerry said earlier, and I feel like each time you say it, it's kind of like the emotion just comes all the way back to you. It's like, wow, we really did it. We're really up here with Netflix and Hulu and, you know, Prime, and, you know, it's just, it's honestly mind-blowing. It's like, we know what we're capable of, and we worked hard to get there, but it's just so much more rewarding now to know that we're even nominated. And even if this doesn't show the big W, you know, we know that we still did everything that we could do, and we put our best foot forward, our best feet forward in everything that we did.
And you can always say you're Emmy nominated.
Exactly.
Oh, that's always.
Not many people can say that. So it's still it's an honor. Like, this at this stage, this is just still an honor. We're just grateful even be at this stage. So if we take it to the top, then we're just gonna be even so much more grateful.
And I love the way Ashley Lee, she called me crying when we got nominated. And I'm not a crier, or I would have been crying too, but.
You were crying when you thought we didn't get it.
No!
She called me and she was like, they see us. She was like, they see us. And she was like, you know, just because all the hard work, they see us. And that was so gratifying. So, the way it's going to look is March 25th on CBS, is the Daytime Emmys. I believe it starts at 6 or 7 p.m. And we have the one category that we're nominated for. So fingers crossed, prayers said. And then 3 days later, they have a phase two of nominations. So don't ask me why, but they break up their nominations, one for the broadcast and one for their virtual broadcast in July. So we actually have 10 more categories that we're up for that we could possibly get nominated for.
They separate
the soap acting and the kind of R type of acting.
Right.
So you have all the soap opera stars in one.
And then there's more, you know, I think children's, you know, programming gets a day, and then digital programming gets a day. But I think they didn't have a TV deal before they started. Before they got out of the category. So I don't know if the 17th and 18th was the original plan, and then they got the CBS deal and was like, well, we can do something on this day as well. But they're splitting the nomination, so like, while we're biting our nails to see if we won this one, you know, we're biting our nails for 3 more days to see if we got any more nominations, because we've got 10 categories outstanding.
That's on the following Monday?
Yeah, so it's on the 28th, so 3 days after the broadcast. And we have lead actress, actor, supporting actors, which we have two, guest performer, cinematography, directing, writing, editing. I think I covered all of them, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wait, all those? Well, we're hoping we get.
Well, so those are the categories that we don't know about yet.
Oh, okay.
Right. So those are the outstanding submissions that we'll know about on the 28th.
I see.
So on the 25th, are you going to LA? Well,
it's virtual this
year. It's virtual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got to do all this again to get back so we can actually go to the red carpet.
Right.
Yes.
But they made that virtual decision a long time ago. And LA is like, you know how Texas has been open for like 6 months. LA is still closed.
Yeah.
It opened 3 days ago.
We initially thought we were, and we were very excited. It's just like the glitz and glam of it all, now that that part is taken out, it's like, you know what, we're humble now. We're like, okay, we still have it, though.
What did they do, a Zoom with you?
Not for this one, okay. But I know they mentioned in the email that if you get nominated for the second round, it's an all virtual show.
Okay.
So we have to set up like an NFL draft type thing for whoever's nominated, and they'll stream us and they'll have all the nominees. Because that's what they did last year for both broadcasts, is that they, and I watched their one last year after we were nominated, and it was a complete firestorm. So I think this year they're going to try to do it a little differently. But anyway, yes, for the second one, we would stream on Zoom.
So our dates are June 25th.
Yeah.
June 25th, and then we find out again on June 28th.
Yeah.
And then
July 18th would be the time, the award show, if we got nominated again.
Okay, so we will hope that we will all be meeting back here again.
Yes.
Congratulations. Yeah.